Now, you heard me say this evening that this marks the beginning of the Paschal Triduum. But what does the word Paschal mean? Anybody want to venture a guess or say aloud what that means, Paschal? Yeah, it can refer to the lamb. But Paschal, it basically means Easter. Pretty simple. If you Google it, gives you a very simple definition. Paschal means relating to Easter. So both Easter and Paschal refer to the same thing. It can refer to the Paschal lamb. It can refer, when we say, the Paschal mystery of the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord. So Easter is that English translation of the Greek word Pascha, where we get Paschal. So it's just, Paschal is the adjectival form of Easter. So when you want to describe something that's Easterish, you call it Paschal. So the word for Easter in Latin, it's also Pascha, just like the Greek. Can everybody say Pascha? Pascha. Good. You know Greek. You know Latin. So from where in the world did the Greeks, it's all Greek to me, where did the Greeks get this word Pascha? Now, there's a reason why I'm giving you this etymology lesson, because this reason gets to the very heart of what we are celebrating this evening and why. We're celebrating the Mass of the Lord's Supper. This is the night that we participate and live out what happened in that upper room 2,000 years ago, and we make it present right here. This sacred liturgy makes that night present to us here and now. But what night in the Jewish calendar was it that Jesus chose to celebrate the Last Supper with his disciples? Passover, yes. That's the Jewish feast that they were celebrating. It was the first night of the Passover feast, which in Hebrew is Pesach. If you hear that it's time for Pesach, that means it's time for Passover. So that's where the Greeks got the word Pascha, from our Jewish friends who referred to their Passover feast as Pesach in the native language. It comes from the Aramaic language that Jesus himself spoke. Pascha in Greek, Pesach in Hebrew. So let's not be puzzled or intimidated when someone asks us what the word Paschal means. It's simply the adjective form of Passover. So when we say the Paschal mystery of Jesus, another way to say that is the Passover mystery of Jesus, which is the passion, death, and his resurrection. So why is that significant to us this evening as Jesus institutes the sacrament of the Eucharist on this night of the Lord's Supper? It's because of the profound and literally earth-shaking statement he was making by what he began in that Last Supper. And you'll see why we could also call it the First Supper. Because by having it on that first night of Passover and saying the things that he said, Jesus was saying that he is the fulfillment of everything for which the prophets and their ancestors longed and hoped. Those centuries and centuries of longing for God to save and redeem them from sin and oppression was beginning to occur right before them. The long-awaited hour had come. You know, the apostles didn't recognize the significance of all of it at first. They were confused. They couldn't understand what Jesus was saying, why all of this had to be. But it was right there under their nose. Remember how the Jews were waiting for a Messiah, a deliverer who would set them free from the oppression of the Romans in a similar way that Moses freed the Israelites from where? From Egypt, from the slavery to the Egyptians. And do you remember how God finally freed the Israelites from the Egyptians? We better, because we just heard about it in the first reading. None of those plagues and unbelievable signs and wonders that God did through Moses would be effective in convincing Egypt to free the Israelites from their slavery and the brutality that they were inflicting upon the Israelites. And so that's when God finally sent the angel of death to kill the firstborn of every family. But what would protect the firstborn of all the Israelites from that angel of death? Yeah, the Passover lamb. It was the Passover lamb that each household was to sacrifice, the blood of which had to be sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintel of their home. So the doorposts on either side kind of looks like a blessing, doesn't it? And get this. the flesh of which each family member had to eat. No one was absent from that requirement. Under this old covenant, this Passover meal was to be reenacted each year through the centuries in thanksgiving for the freedom that God won for them through Moses. I'm sorry for any vegetarians among the Jews or any of them that didn't like mutton, but everybody had to eat the lamb. There was no substitute. So now, place yourselves in the shoes of a Jew in Jesus' time. Since Moses' time centuries ago, God's chosen people had fallen into infidelity after infidelity in their covenant with God. Remember, a covenant is it's different from a contract. A contract, very legalistic. A covenant is between persons. Think of a marriage covenant. So it's very personal, which is why when Israel went off with the other gods, these false gods, he called it not idolatry. Well, he did call it idolatry, but he also called it adultery. Such is the personal relationship that God wants with you and me. So generation after generation had turned away from God. And so God had withdrawn his hand of blessing and protection from them. He was not going to force himself upon them. That's not love. But that did mean that they would now have to suffer a life without his grace and without his power. And thus they were invaded by foreign armies that surrounded Israel. And eventually they were enslaved by the Babylonians. And then after that, they were conquered by the Romans. The prophets for centuries had spoken of another deliverer that was to come, who would liberate them not only politically, but liberate them from the even greater slavery of sin, these abominations that they committed against God. And so this Galilean carpenter named Jesus comes into the picture. For 3 years, he had been doing the miraculous, all kinds of signs and wonders, and he spoke with an authority like no other. And he even claimed that God was his very father, making himself equal to God, that he had come from him, and that before Abraham even existed, he was. And that crazy talk had the Jewish leaders wanting to seize and kill him. But he kept escaping their attempts, and he kept saying that his hour had not yet come. But guess what? On that first day of the Holy Week, he finally said to his disciples that the hour had come. And that's when he entered into Jerusalem on that Palm Sunday. He was now going to allow everything to unfold as the prophets foretold. And so he told his disciples on the eve of Passover, go and prepare the place for the what? Passover meal. This was the hour he had chosen. So it's in this context of the first night of the Passover, that first Holy Thursday, that he said the words that we hear at every Mass, the words that to Jewish ears spoke of the establishment of a new covenant, a new Passover that would save them from death and liberate them, not just liberate the Jews, but as the prophets had foretold, would be the savior of the Gentile nations as well. That includes us Americans. But guess what would serve as the Passover sacrifice this time around? Notice there was no mention of a sacrificial lamb at this Passover meal. What kind of Passover is this without a Passover lamb? Well, that's because Jesus' words reveal that he was that sacrificial lamb. He was a sacrificial Passover lamb, the Paschal lamb. And this Lamb of God, under the appearance of bread, he would give it to us through that, his very flesh to eat. Take this, all of you, and eat of it, for this is my body, which will be given up for you. Ding, ding, ding. Oh, that's what he meant back then when everybody was walking away from him because he was giving this very difficult teaching about eating his flesh, making us sound like carnivores. Ah, but this is what he meant, right? And under the appearance of wine, he would give us his very blood to drink. Take this, all of you, and drink from it, for this is the chalice of my blood. The blood of what? The blood of the new, you know these words, the blood of the new and eternal covenant. Yes. So Jesus establishes a new covenant. He is the new Moses, that promised deliverer, not just for the Jews, but for all nations. And with a new covenant, thus a new Passover would be observed, a new Pascha. What did he command? Do this in memory of me. And when we talk about doing it in memory of him, we're not talking about just doing something like play acting. We do it in the same way that each Jewish family participated in the old Passover. And each one would say that God did this for me because it was reenacted anew each and every year. He institutes the new Passover of the new covenant, and with the new Passover, a new priesthood. Because any first century Jew knew that the only people who could pour out the blood of sacrifice were the appointed priests of the temple. Only those ordained for that function could pour out the blood of sacrifice. And so here's Jesus telling his apostles that they would be the ones who would observe the new Passover, the ones who would offer this Passover sacrifice for the nations. That would be his very body and blood under the appearance of bread and wine. So this is why Holy Thursday is the day all the priests of the diocese go up to St. Mary Cathedral. Father Brian and I drove up to Lansing today to renew our priestly vows before the bishop. It's because this was the day the Eucharist, the new Passover, was instituted, and thus the new priesthood of the new covenant was instituted. So do you recognize what's going on here in this Last Supper? Jesus is reconfiguring the old Passover and establishing this new Passover around his own very suffering and death. What he was offering at that Holy Thursday night, he would now live out on the altar of the cross. He would be the sacrificial lamb led to the slaughter, whose death would redeem us from our slavery of sin that we see in full display in the world around us today, that leads to the death of both body and spirit. But the good news is that Jesus is the one that allows that death to pass over us and set us free to the promised land of a new heaven and a new earth. And he gives a pledge of that new heaven and a new earth at every Mass. The Eucharist is the pledge of that new heaven and new earth. And just as the old Passover observance was the way that each Jew would participate in the redemption of Israel, so the Eucharist, the new Passover observance, was the way that each son or daughter of God from every nation would participate in the redemption of the world. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, you do not have life within you. And so now those prophetic words that St. John the Baptist said at the beginning of Jesus' ministry make sense. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.